Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job begins a lesson about the surprising power of forgiveness.
I believe that there's some of you right now that contentment, joy, well-being eludes you in part because you have some people in debtor's prison. You have resentment, you have bitterness, you have unforgiveness.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and I'm wondering, when was the last time you heard someone say, "I forgive you," and really mean it? With all the tensions and growing divides we see around us, it seems that showing mercy and forgiveness has simply gone out of fashion. But Mark, Jesus has a lot to say on this in his Sermon on the Mount, and you're going to unpack one of his most famous parables.
Yeah, you know, Jesus' words, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy," is really powerful because he's, in essence, telling us that when we have empathy, ultimately we'll receive empathy. And I want you to remember that because I know that some of you are right now very aggravated with someone in your life. And it's very difficult to show empathy when you are frustrated and aggravated. But I think this message may shed a different light on how you should be responding.
So get your cup of coffee ready and notepad, and let's dig into this countercultural message, "Blessed are the merciful, how to keep forgiving."
I was driving on I-55 a few years ago on my way to church. My kids say that I have more than one ticket to my name. I think I got it from my mother. She lives in Spain. At one time, her license was taken away from her because she was speeding. So, and she's like in her, she's 85 now, just to give you an idea. But I was driving on I-55, just a little bit distracted because I was trying to get to church on time. It was a Sunday morning. And sure enough, I see some lights flashing behind me. My eyes immediately go down to my speedometer. I realize I'm going too fast and I'm going to get a ticket. So I pull over to the side of the road. The policeman stops behind me, gets out of his car, walks slowly. They always seem like they walk very slowly. Walks slowly to my car. I'm like, okay, I pull down the window and I'm expecting to hear him say, "Could I have your registration and license?" So I pull out my license. I know the routine already. I pull out my license. I'm giving it to him. Don't even really look at him. I say, "I know, officer. I was going too fast." I'm expecting to hear license and registration. And I hear, "Pastor Mark?" And I look up at him and I say, "Yeah." He said, and I realize he's one of the cops that comes here to church. And he said, "Pastor Mark, you were going a little fast, weren't you?" I said, I know, I'm late to church. And he said, okay. He talked to me a little bit and said, "You know, you need to slow down a little bit, Pastor. We need you to be around for a while." I said, I know. I got to slow down. Thanks for preaching at me. No, thanks for the little advice. And then he said to me before I left, he said, "I'm not going to give you a ticket." He said, "Go in God's speed." That was a good phrase, "go in God's speed." I wasn't sure if he was saying go in the speed that God wants you to go or if he was saying bye to me, but I slowed down and made it to church. But here's the thing, I deserved a ticket. I knew I was going past the speed limit, but I got mercy instead of a ticket, and I was grateful for the mercy that I received. That's mercy. As opposed to getting the just punishment that you receive, you get mercy. And so I want to talk to you about what it means to extend mercy today. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Blessed." The word in the Greek is makarios, which means happy, blessed, blissful, content, are the merciful. For they will be shown mercy. So what he's telling us in this passage is that if you don't display an attitude of mercy, then you are going to lack a sense of happiness in your life. That happiness and an attitude of mercy are connected to one another. And when we lack mercy, when we lack empathy, when we give people what they deserve and not act out of compassion, then you will not be the happiest person around. It'll affect your degree of happiness. And then he says something very interesting. He says, for they will be shown mercy. In other words, if you show mercy, you will receive mercy. Now, the Bible does not teach the concept of karma. Karma is a Hindu or Buddhist tradition, which means that the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as a deciding their fate in the future existence. That's what karma is. Karma basically says, hey, you're reincarnated, and so if you act a certain way, you may be reincarnated the wrong way next time around. The Bible doesn't teach that. We don't believe that, but the Bible does teach the concept of you reap what you sow, which means that whatever seeds that you sow are going to come back to you. Here Jesus says, if you show mercy, you will be shown mercy. If you show compassion, compassion will come back to you. If you show generosity, generosity comes back to you. If you show friendliness, friendliness comes back to you. In other words, it's a spiritual principle. You will eventually reap a harvest of the seeds that you have sown in your life. So take your Bibles with me today and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus doesn't explain in depth what it means to operate with a merciful heart. But a few chapters later, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus actually explains to us what it means to have a merciful heart. He does it via what we call a parable. A parable is a story, a fictitious story that has with it a spiritual truth that can transform our lives. Jesus often taught in parables because he was a master teacher, and Jesus understood that when you tell a story, people suddenly, they engage. Your mental neurons are awakened by stories. I can be preaching truth and messages and giving you statements, but as soon as I say, let me tell you a story, and I engage in a story, your mind immediately starts to visualize the story that I'm talking about, and you engage in the story. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 18. He tells a story, he says, let me give you a principle, and he tells us a story of a king that decides that he's going to settle accounts with people in his kingdom. And one man owes him several million dollars. And the king says, well, if you can't pay, I'm going to require his payment now. If he can't pay, we'll have to sell his wife, his children into slavery until they can pay off their debt. The man begs and begs and begs that he will be liberated from this and that he will be forgiven of his debt. And so finally the king has empathy on him and he cancels his debt. This same man goes out and finds another man that owes him 100 denarii, which is a lot less. It's about a third of a wage, of a year's wage. And he goes out and he starts choking the man. He says, you need to pay me back. You need to pay me back. And he says, please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. And he doesn't have mercy on him. He puts him in jail until he can pay him back. When the king who had forgiven him finds out what he did, he said, you wicked servant, I forgave you, but you can't forgive someone else. And then Jesus says that there are some principles that we need to be able to understand from this story. It's about mercy. He said, you were shown mercy, but you do not show mercy to others. So I'm going to talk to you about mercy and forgiveness, how to keep forgiving. Some of you need to hear this message. I believe that God wants to speak to some people because I believe that there's some of you right now. Listen, look up at me. This is really important. I believe that there's some of you right now that are unhappy, that contentment, joy, well-being eludes you in part because you have some people in debtor's prison. You have resentment, you have bitterness, you have unforgiveness. You can't quite figure out why you can't happy, why the joy is not there, why you're not quite fully engaged in life, but it could very well be exactly what Jesus is talking about. So let's set up this parable. It tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus. Do you remember who Peter was? One of Jesus' disciples. He was a converted fisherman. He became one of the leaders of the early church. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So let me set up the story of why Jesus told this parable. Peter, who tends to be this outgoing, spontaneous, put his foot in his mouth kind of guy, he's got this spontaneous personality that does things, great things, and other times he just really messes things up. He's the guy that cut off the guy's ear with his sword. Jesus had to heal the man because Peter was messing up. Peter's trying to impress Jesus, most scholars believe. There was rabbis during that time that taught that you should forgive three times. And after the third time, you didn't have to forgive anymore. That was the common rabbinical teaching of those days. It's a little bit like the city of Chicago. There's a three time and then you're done strikeout if you commit the same crime again. Well, rabbis taught you forgive once, you forgive twice, you forgive three times, but if they commit it the fourth time, then you have no obligation to forgive them anymore. So Peter, I think he was trying to impress Jesus about how spiritual he was, so he doubled the amount of times. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Thinking that Jesus was going to say, oh, Peter, you're so spiritual. Most people only forgive three times, but you're doubled that amount to seven times. Wow, Peter, you're so full of grace. But Jesus looks at Peter and says, no, not seven times. I tell you, 70 times seven.
Listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Today we're talking about the power and blessings found in forgiveness, and this message is from the series called The Pursuit of Happiness. You can catch up on anything you might have missed recently by simply going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. We'll continue in a moment. You can also listen to us straight from your phone or smart device by opening your podcast app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And while you're there, why not subscribe to the rest of our Bold Steps family of programs, such as Bold Steps Weekend, Bold Steps Minute, and our Bold Steps Minute in Spanish, Pasos a Dadas. You'll find them all right there on your podcast app. Now, did you know that you can also find Mark's teachings available on YouTube? Yes, by subscribing to the Bold Steps channel on YouTube, you can watch Mark's insightful teaching videos on topics that really matter. Things like marriage, addiction, purpose, and what to do when you simply feel like giving up. So log on to YouTube, search for Bold Steps Radio, and click the subscribe button. If it helps, the website handle is youtube.com/@boldstepsradio. All right, let's get back to our lesson now, all about forgiveness. Here's more with Mark Jobe.
Now, some of you didn't do very well in math. So you're still calculating it. And just so you won't be distracted through the whole service trying to figure it out, 70 times 7 is 490 times. So Jesus says not 7 times, but 490 times. Now, what was Jesus saying? Well, if you start counting how many times someone has offended you, one time, two times, three times, okay, this is the fourth time, now five, they've offended me six times, seven times, eight times, nine times, 10 times. Okay, now we're in about 20 times, 25, 100 times. Now, is that 100, 102 times? I don't know. By the time you get to 200, 300, or 400, you've lost count already because you just can't keep track of all the times you've been offended. And basically what Jesus was saying is you forgive them so many times that you lose track of how many times you've forgiven them. He wasn't teaching that on 491, now you can really crack down. He was just saying, you've forgiven away, you have an attitude or disposition of forgiveness. Now, if you've been married here today for 10 years, you know that you have to put that into practice. You have to forgive this week, last week, someone did this, your spouse offended you, and your 10 years, you're probably about 4,900 times already in forgiveness. You've lost track of how many times you've had to say, okay, I forgive you this time, I release you. All right, let's deal with that. You've offended me. Let's talk through that. You've lost track of it. What Jesus was saying is that our default mode, our disposition is not to hold a grudge or resentment against someone, but our disposition is to work it through and to release that person and not hold a grudge against them. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. The first step in how to keep forgiving is rethink your thinking about forgiveness. It's not a three-time deal. It's not a seven-time deal. It's an attitude of forgiveness that we display towards the people that are around us. An attitude of forgiveness that we display towards the people that are around us. And I believe that what Jesus is telling us, and I want you to hear me well, this is important. I believe that what happens is that every time you hold someone in unforgiveness, in essence, what you're doing is you're putting someone in debtor's prison. What is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is the thought that when someone has offended you or hurt you or done something against you, you say, you owe me. You have to pay for what you've done. And so what happens is we put someone in debtor's prison. Mentally, we lock them up in a jail and we say, you're going to be there until you pay me back. Then someone else offends us, we put them in the jail and you're going to be there until you pay me back. Your spouse offends you, your boss offends you, your mother-in-law really offends you, your coworker offends you, your cousin offends you, and some of you have been putting people in prison. You have so many people in prison, you can't even keep track of it anymore. You got so many people in prison, you have more people than Cook County. I mean, really, seriously, you got hundreds of people in prison, and some of them, you don't even remember why you put them in prison. You're mad at them, and someone says, well, why are you mad at them? I don't remember, but they did something to me. I can't even remember now what they did, but they did something. And you walk around. There are people in this auditorium and people outside of this auditorium that you have so many people in debtor's prison that you walk around angry, bitter. You're bitter at people you don't know. You're bitter at people you do know. You're angry. You have a whole jail full of people, and you have to watch over those people because they owe you, and you have hundreds of people in debtor's prison that you keep there until they make their payment. And you're the jailkeeper. And you're a miserable jailkeeper. An unhappy jailkeeper, a bitter jailkeeper. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow my way, learn 490 times. And this is the same person. Number two, write this down. I'm talking about what it means to live with an attitude of forgiveness and mercy. Not only rethink your thinking about forgiveness, number two, acknowledge your unpayable debt. Verse 23, He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who went to settle his accounts with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 talents. A talent, by the way, is not a gift. A talent is actually a monetary coinage, like a dollar would be, or a peso would be, or a peseta would be, or a euro would be. So he owed him 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to several million dollars. And he was brought to him. Since he was unable to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. When someone was in debt in those days and they could not pay their debt and it was time for them to settle, the laws of the land allowed a person to actually have to sell all their property to pay off their debt. And if that still wasn't sufficient, then they would have to sell themselves into indentured servitude, sell their wife if they were married, or their children if they had children, into servitude. And the idea was that your children, your wife, and yourself would have to serve at no pay as someone else's servant or slave up to 7 years in order to pay off the debt that you couldn't pay yourself. This is not about you got a bad credit score. This is about your children and you have to be sold into slavery, your family dismantled in order to pay the debt.
And Mark Jobe will have to pick up the parable right there next time. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and if you'd like to find more teachings or simply learn more about the Bold Steps ministry, be sure to visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. While you're on our website, you can also check out the very special Bold Step gift we're currently offering. It's a shockingly relevant book that goes along with today's countercultural theme titled, We Will Not Be Silenced. Mark?
Well, I'm in the studio again with my friend, Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And you know that our gift for this month is his book, We Will Not Be Silenced. And boy, the title itself makes me want to stand up and say something, especially in a culture where so many Christians have felt silenced. Pastor Lutzer, you wrote this book to awaken the church and Christians. Tell us a little bit what's in this book and maybe even some of the chapter titles.
Well, you know, I discovered that there are many people in our culture who do not believe that America can be fixed. It has to be destroyed. And of course, what I try to do in this book is to show those cultural streams that work against us, that work against our freedoms. Now, in response to your question of some of the chapter titles, the first one is entitled, How We Got Here. The next one, Rewrite the Past to Control the Future. This is so critical. Mm. People have to understand that the past is to a country what memory is to a person, and the implications are huge. Use Diversity to Divide and Destroy. Freedom of speech for me, but not for thee. I try to help people to understand why it is that freedom today, freedom of speech, is oftentimes used against us and the whole cancel culture. Sell it as a noble cause. Well, I won't go on and give you all the chapter titles, but I have to mention that one. It has to do with propaganda. Hmm. Propaganda, just for those who are listening, is what happens when you so distort people's view of reality that even when confronted with a mountain of evidence, they will not change their minds. Mm-hmm. So I try to help people to understand this, but always to ask this question, how do we as believers relate to this culture that has lost its way?
I love that. So, hey, we would love to put this book in your hand. I believe that there's a prophetic element to it. In other words, a right message at a right time. And you're going to be challenged, I think, by We Will Not Be Silenced.
What a great book title. We'll send you a copy today when you give a financial gift to support this ministry. Call 800-DL-MOODY, that's 800-356-6639, or request a copy of this Bold Step gift online at boldstepsradio.org. You can also send your gift and request for the book in the mail. Simply address your letter to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And if you're a regular listener of this program and you enjoy the teaching, why not become a Bold partner? Your support will help cover the costs of bringing this practical Bible teaching to you day after day, week after week. Every donation counts, probably more than you think, so please don't hesitate. Become a part of this ministry today by signing up at boldstepsradio.org. Plus, when you give a financial gift of $30 or more each month, we'll send you a link for 50% off any selection from the online store at moodypublishers.org to use as often as you like. Again, go to boldstepsradio.org to sign up and become a Bold partner today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll see you next time for the conclusion of this message titled, Blessed Are the Merciful, How to Keep Forgiving. We're getting a fuller appreciation for God's debt-canceling power. Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.